We are Be'ezra Hashem this year going to be learning sugyas relating to Inyanei Para Aduma, Meseches Para, and the like. As I mentioned earlier today to some of you, B'derech Klal in this slot we try and cover areas of Torah that one is less likely to encounter and cover in their normal learning in the yeshiva system. And we try to alternate more or less between years of Zrayim and years of Taros. And this is a year, Meseches Para, relates a lot to Inyanei Tumah V'Tahara. It's in Meseches Taros. And our primary goal tonight, really just a bit of a brief hakdama, is to speak a little bit about the uniqueness of Seder Taros. Some of it's going to be a bit more machshava for tonight, which is fine. It's a good hakdama also. And just again, to be able to appreciate a little bit what hopefully we're going to be doing this year. Let me start with a bit of a hakdama. I mentioned this point today in Shir, and I apologize for that. But it's from this week's Parsha, and is a good hakdama also. Kipali mimcha davar l'mishpat, beidam l'dam, beidin l'din, beinag l'nag. The Torah tells us that sometimes a person has a shaila in halacha. Sometimes there are questions that come up. And we're told those questions are divided into three categories. Dam l'dam, din l'din, and nega l'nega. Rav Shechter is very fond of pointing out what is found in the Gra in Aderet Eliyo. The Gra points out that there are three different areas of halacha. There's an area of halacha called mamonos. That's what we're learning in Maseches Baba Basra. Those are the areas of halacha that refer to that deal with any kind of monetary law. In general, in dini mamonos, so there the question we have is, are you chayav? Are you chayav or zakeh? Do I have to pay money? Do I not pay money? Am I exempt from paying money? It's all questions like that. The other area of halacha is isurim. Isurim deal with questions about mitzvos, etc. There we have the question, not are you chayav or not, but is it mutter or aser? It's a bit of a different kind of question. That's the realm of isurim. And the third realm of halacha is the realm of tumantara, benega lenega, where there the primary question we ask is not was it aser or mutter, or was it, are you chayav to pay or not chayav to pay? The primary question that we ask is one of, was it tameh, are you tameh, or are you tahor? There is, for the majority of Rishonim, there's an Eben Ezra, maybe not like this, a Tovus and Chulin, maybe not like this, but for the majority of Rishonim, there is no Isser at all to become tameh. A person's allowed to be tameh, other than around Shalosh Regalim time, but a person's allowed to become tameh. That's why the question is he tameh, is he tahor? But mutter aser is not the right question. Those three areas of halacha, Rav Shechter points out here in Eretz HaTzvi, in source number three, they each have their own kind of methodology. They each have their own kind of system. That's why the Gemara says in Meseches Brachos, Isura mimimona lo yalfinan. And the Gemara Nivamo says, Isser mituma lo yalfinan. I can't extract halachas from the realm of Isser and bring that to mamonos. I can't extract halachas from the realm of mamonos and bring that to tuma. Most of us, I think, we are more familiar with, we'll be learning this year a lot about Dine Mamonos, a lot about that kind of, that area of halacha. Many of us know, we learned Ksubis, we learned Kiddushin last year, we're familiar, many of us, with the realm of Isser. Tumah and Tahara is a different kind of limud. It plays by a little bit in terms of some different rules, and therefore we have to sort of approach it through different kinds of, in a bit of a different way. And I want to now just shift a little bit what makes Taros somewhat unique. Again, there'll be some machshava here. There'll also hopefully be some things that will more directly impact their actual limud. The Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph tells us darshans from a pasuk that there are six different siddurim in Shas: Zrayim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, and Taros. The Gemara darshans that each word in that pasuk refers to one of the siddurim in Shas. Taros is learned from the word das. The das zes seder taros, as opposed to kachim, which is learned chachma zes seder kachim. So kachim is associated with the word chachma. Taros is associated with the word das. What exactly is the significance of taros being associated with the word das? So let's build a couple of ideas. Rashi writes in his Perush in Masechta Shabbos there. Rashi writes, well, das is actually adif michachma, which means that while kachim is very unique and very special, has a certain kind of chachma that's there, taros is a level above. Taros is somehow adif. What makes taros somehow adif? What makes it unique? So some of the mefarshim point out, the Marsha there points out, Rashi al-Torah writes that the word das is always associated with ruach hakodesh. Some of the Mefarshim Rif Tzadok and Pri Tzadok points out that a person dafka requires tahara to achieve Ruach HaKodesh. So we have, again, where we're going to build a little bit, but the realm of tahara, as the Gemara tells, is associated with this idea called das. Das is this very high level of understanding. It's a very high level of understanding associated on some level with Ruach HaKodesh. What makes it really unique and so chashuv? So I'll share with you two ideas. The Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael, what about Tara was associated with this highest level of Das? So the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael suggests the following, and we'll see a very similar idea that Rosenzweig suggests based on Medrash Nialkat Shimoni in a second. The Maharal has a theory, and this will be important to get some background. The Maharal thinks that in order to be successful in learning, a person has to leave this world. That a physical creature has a harder time being successful in Talmud Torah, and therefore those who are able to be more successful in Talmud Torah are dafka those who are able to elevate themselves beyond the physical. Beyond the physical. The Maharal suggests that while Kachim is one high level, Kedusha, Kachim is one high level where a person's forced to leave elements of the physical world, but the Maharal writes here in Tiferet Yisrael, he writes that when it comes to Taros is something which is Yoser Od Madrega Shahadas Hu Mufsat Lagarma Yoser Min HaChachma. Das is something which is elevated. Why is that considered to be so? He writes because Das is something Tuma and Tara is not physical at all. Tuma and Tara is not physical. I don't know. I can look at something. We'll see some Bezin Bava Basra. I can't always tell, is it Tuma or is it Tahor? In other areas of halacha, the impact is discernible. The impact is very, very clear. Tumah and Tahara is all abstract. I can look at a person and not know is that person Tameh or is that person Tahor. The Maharal says it's in a certain sense the highest level of Torah because it's so disconnected in a certain sense from the physical world. If you're a Maharal person, that made some sense. If you're not a Maharal person, that made very little sense. So I'll give you an idea which is hopefully a little bit clearer. Rosenzweig pointed out, and I think it's very similar to the Maharal just in his own style. The Yalkut Shimoni tells us that after Moshe Rabbeinu took out Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, v'chule, so the Medrash tells us, I have this here somewhere. The Medrash tells us, we are in source number 16, Amar Lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, after Moshe Rabbeinu helped take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, because Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshcha Malacha Gedola Mikol Masha Asisa. Taking out of Mitzrayim was awesome, but there is a higher madrega. There is something you can do which is far greater than taking out of Mitzrayim. What is that? Lami lebni tuma v'tahara, to be able to teach in yane tuma v'tahara to Klal Yisrael. Rosenzweig asks, what's so unique and so special, dafka, about tuma v'tahara? So he offers the following suggestion. It's an idea that you'll hear in the world of Brisk also. That's why they have a certain connection to the world of Kachim and Taros. Kachim and Taros are different from other Masechtas, and the limud of Taros we have to view in that context. Most of the things that we learn, we have parallels in this world that we are familiar with. If you're learning Ksubis and Kiddushin, so when we're going to approach Ksubis and Kiddushin, we know what marriage is. We've been around marriages. We're familiar with what it looks like. And therefore, when I learn Torah, my Torah is not going to be anywhere near as pure Torah because I'm always thinking about it in the context of that which I know about marriage in the regular sort of day-to-day secular world that I interact with. The exception to that is the world of Kachim and Taros don't have parallels. When we're learning about Parah Aduma, we're not thinking about other things that are at all tainting our relationship to Torah or the way that we're going to be approaching it. Rosenzweig suggests that the Rosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu was as follows. Good leaders require two things. Number one, you took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You live in the physical world. A wonderful job. Real world impact. But there is a greater chachma, there is a greater skill, so said Moshe, so said the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is to also teach Klal Yisrael pure Torah. Torah that's not at all tainted, Torah that is not at all influenced by anything outside, but to approach Torah in its most pure, ideal sense. And that is something that a person gets in the realm of Taros. So while Tumah and Tara, we saw the Gra, has its own sort of its own dinim, part of what makes Taros unique. Taros is associated with Das. What does it mean to be associated with Das? So for the Maharal, it's much less to do with this world. I can't see it in this world. For Rosenzweig, part of what makes it very, very special is that Daska in the realm of Taros, we're approaching Torah as as pure Torah, and therefore I have to know when I'm going to be learning it, I'm going to be seeing a lot of new halachas and new concepts that I may not be that familiar with at all. Sreifas, Parah, and the Zrikas, those are new concepts. One of the reasons why hopefully it can be a nice lingman. There is another explanation as to what exactly is the connection between Das and Taharos. Not about its pure high level, but something a little bit different. And here I'll start with Shemi Shmuel, really just for kicks, and then we'll go from there to a bunch of different Rambams. The Shemi Shmuel writes that, we know that Chazal tells in Yerushalmi that Das is always associated with Havdalah. That's why we say Atachonein, L'Adam Das, we say on Moti Shabbos, we say Atachonein, the Havdalah. Why? Because Das is not just a question of pure abstract thought. Das is also man's capacity to tell things apart, to be able to differentiate. That's what's often associated with Das. Part of what makes the world of Tumah and Tahara so challenging, says the Shemi Shmuel, and this is very much true as we will on some level hopefully be able to see, is that Dafka v'ein lecha davar sh'tiyeh bo dakus ahevdel k'mo bein Tumah v'Tahara sh'pashas eino nikar. So many of the halachas, what makes you Tameh and what makes you Tahor, are going to be halachas that are very hard for us to be able to really understand well. We're going to see very, very subtle differences, distinctions between what makes something Tahor, what makes something Tameh. It's going to be, again, a certain kind of precision, the kind of para aduma, which is okay and not okay. Even when you learn the psukim and the like, it's going to be hard to be able to really pin that down well. And that's why it requires a certain high level, a degree of das. The Rambam is very sensitive to this in the realm of Taros. The Rambam writes some pretty wild things. The Rambam wrote a Hagdama to Seder Taros. There's a lot of Hagdamas. The Rambam, his Pirush Mishnah, wrote a Hagdama to Seder Taros. The Rambam there writes a bunch of different things. He writes like this. It's in source number 12. If you want to be able to learn it well, so you have to be able to know my Pirush, says the Rambam. The Rambam's Hagdama to Taros, what we learned, I think, 4 years ago in this slot. The Rambam's Hagdama to Seder Taros has a lot of the basic ideas relating to Tumah and Tahara. And the Rambam writes that if you want to be able to learn anything about Taharos, so we're going to skip this, but interesting nonetheless. The Rambam writes, you have to really know his Hakdama, Kim'at Balpeh. The Rambam writes, even if you've read it 1,000 times, reading it 1,000 times, my Hakdama about Tumah and Tahara is not going to at all be that good. Ella Yeshagar al Shoncha Kmo Kriyashma. You should know these basic column of Tumah and Tahara the same way that you know Kriya Shema. Which is like, you know, I think they say that the Ragat Shavar knew Torah better than most of us know Asrei, because we can only go forward, but he could go backwards. Like, what's the word before, you know, before Malchuscha? Like, it takes time to cheshbon it out. So I'm going to say Ragat Shavar was better backwards, but for us, the Kriya Shema would be sufficient. So you have to know it that so well. And the Rambam writes like this in Ozayin there. The basic hal called Varm Halal Gish Loya Al Daitcha Shadibra Banyanim Ela Kmohadibra Basika Olulav or Bashwush Ashomer Mishwush Hadayanim. Says the Rambam as follows, learning Taros is not like learning the other things that we may be more familiar with, like Lulav and Esrog or Shwash Shomrim, Shwush Dayanim, etc. Rather, it's not at all easy and requires a good deal of work. Because of that, one of the goals of this particular slot is to open up that world a little bit. The world of Tumah and Tahara is a bit of a world which is somewhat scary. It's a world where it deals, like we saw earlier, with a lot of its own halachas, a bit of a separate area of halacha. And therefore, in order to be able to approach it well, sometimes it's helpful to become increasingly familiar with it and not as scared of it. What we're going to try to do in the shiurim is through Parah Aduma, but we'll see some broader Taros ideas to make us more comfortable, open up some doors for us, and therefore we'll be able to approach it with a certain sense of at least a certain kind of understanding. The challenge, as Shemi Shmuel pointed out, is that a lot of different details. The Rambam highlights the extent of the challenge. It's not like other areas of halacha, says the Rambam. It's far more complicated to know the Hakdamas, language a person really does need to know. An additional reason why it is somewhat challenging, the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Mikvaos, the Rambam in Sefer Taharah. Many of us know the Rambam ends a lot of his Sfarim with words, with the last halacha tends to be a bit less halachic and tends to be an idea which is, again, more in the realm of machshava, philosophy, etc., or at least less halachic. The Rambam writes the end of Hilchos Mikvaos, which is the way end of Sefer Tara, that Rebarer Vigolei, Shatumas Vatara is Gezeris HaKasav. All of Tumma and Tara is really a Gezeris HaKasav. All of Tumma and Tara is really a Gezeris HaKasav. What that means, the Rambam says, Ve'inan mitvarim shedaito shel Adam machra aso, varein michla hachukim. Tumma and Tara is in the category of a chok. A chok is something which we are not able to understand internally based on the realm of Svara. And because it's all Gezeris HaKasuvim, the Rambam writes, it's going to require us to really understand the details and the dinim very, very well. It's part of the reason why it's complicated. A, misvara, A doesn't always lead to B. We have to know the actual dinim to be able to do it well. This does not mean, as we will hopefully see, that there is not some very nice and some very sweet lumdus in the world of Para Aduma. What it does mean is that we're going to see in a lot of these shirim, we're going to divide a lot of them into two sections. There'll be one section, the beginning of the shir, where we talk about a lot of just the basic halachas and basic dinim. Some of that's going to be just Chumash Rashi, and the Rambam even critiques. He says that there's, you know, basic psukim that many Rabbanim don't know what's in Chumash. It's a complicated area. It's a complicated area, and we're going to spend some time in the beginning going through the basic halachos. You will see that once you've covered some of those basic halachos, then we are able to experience and to see some nice... again, some very, very nice lumdus that is there. Let's chaz what we did so far, so I can shift just a little bit to Para Aduma, be able to maybe share one additional insight, because I'm good timing-wise. We try to spend, I think, under a half hour, but Derek Hall is what we try to do here. We spoke so far a little bit about an interesting idea about Taros. Taros is its own set of halachos. That's the Gra, Aderes Elio, and this is Parsha Shoftim. We then spoke about how it's associated with Das. Das means we had two main mahalchim, what it means to be associated with Das. One mahalach, the Maharal, we were bringing a Rosenzweig there. It's something which is less connected to this world. It's more abstract. It's harder to see. We then spoke about a second mahalach, which is a Shem Yishmuel, which leads very nicely into the Rambam, that part of Taros, Das, is the capacity to distinguish between things. And it's very, very challenging. It is somewhat hard to be able to tell the difference well when it comes to Inyane Taros. We're going to focus on that. Now let's shift a little bit to the world of Para Aduma, and hopefully this can we can try to develop what is, I think, an interesting idea about Para Aduma in general. We'll have just a brief mahalach now, and hopefully we can... Many of us are familiar with the fact that not all mitzvos on some level were originally given at Har Sinai. There were some that we were commanded in, or at least given, a bit earlier. The Rambam Hilchos Malachim gives us some of those, Shem Bnei Noach is given a bit earlier, Gid Hanasha may have been given a bit earlier. Rashi quotes in his Perush Al HaTorah and Parshat B'Shalach from a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, maybe a bit of a different girsa, that there were three things we were commanded before Har Sinai in Mara. There were three things we got in Parshat B'Shalach before we were given the Torah in Parshat Yisro. What are the three things that we were given? So Rashi there writes, we were given Shabbos, we were given Para Aduma, and we were given Dinah. Dinim is the requirement to establish a court system. It is, number one, Para Aduma is somewhat unique in its presence on the list. Shabbos goes back to Maisa Bereishis. I understand the significance of Shabbos at all times. Klal Yisrael can start keeping Shabbos already there in Mara. Dinim, establishing a court system, is very important to get done pretty early. You have to be able to have a certain Seder. One of the Shemites B'nai Noach is that B'nai Noach also have to establish a certain kind of court system, have a degree of Seder. Para Aduma's presence there is unique, and it is somewhat hard to understand. As many of the Mefarshim point out, Klal Yisrael could not have fulfilled Para Aduma yet, because part of Para Aduma, Strefas Para, requires Ohel Moed, and there isn't that really yet. So they're getting commanded to do Para Aduma before they are even commanded to... before they're able to even perform it. What exactly is going on here? One suggestion, Rabbeinu Bechai points out in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, we know that there are different categories of mitzvos. One category of mitzvos are mishpatim, things that we can understand totally on our own. A second category of mitzvos, the Maharal has additional categories, but a second category of mitzvos are those mitzvos like Shabbos, Shemitah, etc., that we would never have thought of on our own, but we are able to understand. They commemorate an event that we are able to understand. Shabbos, remember, I wouldn't have thought of my own, but I hear it. Then we have something called para aduma, the chukim. The chukim are somewhat unique. The chukim are things that really we can't understand. The way some understand, there's even internal contradictions in the world of it. Para aduma, in many ways, is the paradigmatic. Para aduma is the chok. It is the metame, the tahorim, metayer, the tmeim. Para aduma doesn't make a lot of sense. What they got in Mara were three mitzvos. Each one represents one of the main categories of mitzvos. Dinim, mishpatim. Dinim makes a lot of sense. We understand dinim. I have to have a court system. That's how I'm going to avoid chaos. Shabbos, I wouldn't have thought of it, but once I get it, it commemorates an event. I can understand why we're doing it. Para aduma is the chok, which means that part of what makes para aduma unique is that we are learning a chok. We're learning something that, again, may have certain internal contradictions, which on the one hand creates certain challenges. On the other hand, I would argue it makes it a great limud to be able to really unpackage it well. But I came across today a beautiful mahalach. Another, para aduma wasn't given at Mara because it's like the best chok, but a very different mahalach. It's in source number 23. Sefer called Mishmeres HaTara on Meseches Para. In his Hakdama, he offers it's a good ha'ara. It's very sharp and very good and very relevant for the first discussion we have in Meseches Para. He suggests as follows. The Re'eim, Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, in his parish on Rashi, points out something interesting. If Para Aduma, if we weren't able to fulfill it when we were given it at Mara before Har Sinai, so why did Ribbono Shel Olam command us? Elamai, he suggests that the mitzvah of Para Aduma was given over in two stages. It was given over in Parshas, in Beshalach, in Mara. There we initially got it. It was given over again in Parshas Chukas, where we have all the real dinim of Para Aduma. Why was it given over twice? Because Para Aduma was given over for two different purposes. Parshas Chukas is when it's practical. Parshas Chukas is Lemaisa, now we can fulfill it, now we can do it. That's one. Par is given over there because Lemaisa we could do it. Par was given over in Mara not to perform, but to learn. Par was given over in order to learn. It wasn't given over to do, but rather for Lima. He suggests there in the Mishmeres HaTara that when it comes to Para Aduma, learning Para Aduma has an increased significance. The limit of Anyani Para Aduma is unique because most halachas are given over just to do. So I have to learn about them to know how to do them. Para Aduma was given over even originally in Mara before we could do it so that we would learn it. A special Inyan Dafka of Limud Para Aduma has its own unique significance. He suggests based on that a beautiful, beautiful mahalach. Many of us may know there's a day in Bali at Tosfos. Tosfos thinks in one context that reading Parshas Para is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Parshas Zachar, we know, maybe normally Kriyas HaTorah, for the vast majority of Yishonim, Kriyas HaTorah is only a chi of midirabbanan. However, Parshas Zachar, for many of Yishonim, appears to be a chi of d'oraisa. And Bali Tosfos, Shulchan Aruch quotes this as a deya, that Parshas Para may also be a mitzvah d'oraisa to read Para. Many of the Achronim are very bothered. Why would it be that reading Para Aduma would qualify as a mitzvah? We have so many things in Chumash that are so significant. I understand Parshas Zachar, that's a fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Zachar, to remember what happened with Amalek. But why exactly would Para Aduma have its dafka that would be a chiyuv? So he suggests Mishmeres HaTara, a beautiful insight. Because Para Aduma was given over twice with two different purposes. One is Para Aduma Lemaisa, Para Aduma Parshas Chukas. But we got Para Aduma in Mara also. And Para Aduma there was given over for us to learn. And the Kriyas HaTorah, because Para Aduma was given over, as a separate kiyum to learn about Para Aduma, not just to fulfill, to learn about it, that's why for some of the Bali HaTosfos, there was a special kiyum of every year, Kriyas HaTorah Parshas Para, to learn about Para Aduma. If not just, again, in that sense, there may be something unique about Para Aduma. I want to chaz where we spoke about tonight and hopefully try and just share a little bit about how we're going to do things going forward. Tonight, in many ways, was again, less halachic, came out no lumdus. It was really a way of introducing the limud as a whole. For many of us, the first time that we're going to enter the world of Tumah and Tahara. I mean, we've entered the world of Tumah probably when we were born, if you're like really precise. But the world of that was like a halach, and it wasn't like a mussary statement. That was like a technically speaking, we were Tumah. Not like, you know, like I don't do that. But what we what we try to understand a little bit is that this it does have it's a separate area of halacha. Bin dam ladam bin dinam bin nega lenega. It's a separate area of halacha. There the question is, are you tameh, are you tahor? For most Rishonim, there's no isser to become tameh. It's just a question of, you can't, if you are, it's a certain status change that's there. We spoke about how it's associated with das. For, again, it's very elevated for the maral. It's something which is very abstract. It's very abstract. I can't tell the difference between something which is tameh and something which is tahor. It's very hard to see any change in something to become tameh and tahor. It's very abstract. For Rosh Hashanah, it's an ideal form of Talmud Torah. It's Talmud Torah that is not tainted. It's Talmud Torah that has no equivalent in the outside world, and therefore I approach it just pure with a certain kind of Torah perspective. We saw that for others, it's also very, very complex, a lot of different halachos. The Das, Havdalah Minayin, to tell the difference between different things. The Rambam, we have to really make sure we're doing these things well and taking it very, very slowly. We tried to point out with Parah Aduma in particular, when we come across Parah Aduma, it is a chok, it may be the paradigmatic chok. It is also something which, again, some suggest, the special Indian of Limud Parah Aduma, which explains maybe why there is a special Doraisa, for again, at least for some Rishonim, of Kriyas HaTorah, Dafka Parshas Parah. There's incredible value in learning about Parah Aduma. The goal of these Shiurim, again, is to familiarize ourselves with some of the that Parshas Chukas in the beginning becomes much clearer and valuable. The world of Tumah and Tahara is something which we are increasingly familiar with. We're going to take it slow. We're going to go through the basic dinim. We're going to go through some good lamdas. The goal is, about a half hour a week or so, that we are zocha to put these things together, be'ezra Hashem, and b'neder there in order to be able to do a good job, to become increasingly comfortable with it, to gain some good insight, and to be mekayim the wonderful mitzvah of limud parah aduma, maybe zocha for a certain kind of das, and while we're swinging for the fences, the Ruach HaKodesh that comes with that das, as Rashi points out. Have a wonderful night. I would note that every